Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man. Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and today we have a very special show with my newly found friend, international recording artist Paul Lufenegger. But before I get to Paul, and I'm really excited to have him on the show, this is going to be the first time I've had a recording artist on Reality Spirituality. I just want to share with all my new followers, all my new listeners to the show, because we have thousands and thousands of people listening from all over the world, and the show is just getting bigger and bigger every single week. And I want to thank all of you. I'm grateful for all of the audience. Some emails are like, what the hell is Reality Spirituality? What kind of show is this? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I have the answer. Reality Spirituality is a show that talks about our everyday life experiences, every single, even the quote-unquote mundane life experiences, and the link to spirituality, meaning that we're always connected to the universe in every single moment. And you can find spirituality standing in line at a cashier, with the cashier, or pumping gas, or riding a bus, or at your doctor's office, or even having a conversation, with family members, coworkers. It doesn't matter. This connection, what I'm talking about is living connected, meaning that feeling and knowing your foundation, your personal temperature gauge, if you will, your personal energy is what you have control over. You know, I can't control what happens to me. I can't control anything external, but I definitely can control my perspective. I can control my attitude, I can control my words, my behavior, and I can control my personal vibration. I can control the energy that I'm putting out. And the energy and whatever energy I'm putting out is exactly what I'm going to be getting back. So that's what this show is about, talking about everyday life and finding and dissecting all experiences down to the least common denominator, to discover why or how we can even become more happy. And what do I mean when I say happy? What I mean is this internal contentment, this internal peace that is never wavering, that never leaves, that you can always feel that sense of internal peace. I use that word peace, and that's my definition of happy. You know, I am a self-proclaimed happiness specialist, and what that means is my definition of happiness is being okay and being grateful and accepting whatever happens to me and whatever doesn't happen. So happiness is being at peace with whatever happens and whatever doesn't happen. And that's my spiel. Now, listen, I don't even remember so many incidences, so many miracles that just happen every single day, how I found this wonderful young man, Paul Lufenegger. But here he is on Reality Spirituality, and let me introduce him. He is an international artist and musician. He was born in St. Thomas, Ontario, and at 8 years of age, Paul moved to London, Ontario with his family, and he started studying piano. Well, we have something in common because I've been playing the piano for a long time, too. And by 10 years old, Paul auditioned for the St. Mary's Choir and Orchestra program in London. This blessing opened up many doors and expanded him to grow in all of his artistic talents. And he is a artist, he is a musician, he is a composer, and I want to share with you his latest. Here we go. This is called Dreaming Again. Difficulties. You know what? This is the first time I've been playing live music. Here we go. One more time. Reality, spirituality.
City lights are shining so bright tonight.
connecting that in. That's dreaming again. Paul, welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm so grateful to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. I'm so happy and grateful to be here.
Ooh, that just put me in a wonderful little state of mind. I love that. Can you share with us how what does that song mean to you?
Well, that song's really important to me just because I've basically begun a new project, and it's now kind of coming to be. And it's been 3.5 years really in the making and a lifetime lived. So this song is the first of a collection of 11 songs that I have for a new album that has actually been paid for and funded by beautiful hearts from around the world. So I did a Kickstarter campaign, really started it probably about 2 months ago. And I just kind of was called within myself to put it out there. A friend suggested that I do a Kickstarter campaign, and I love the idea that love has the power and energy of love has the power and energy in money, and I believe that. So I really wanted to fund this album from hearts that intentionally purchased this album essentially before it was made with an energy of love. And this album was supported and funded by amazing people that I'm in touch with from all over the world. So they paid for this album, and it's the most amazing thing to know that. And I feel there's so much love in it already just because of that. And this is the first song really to kind of showcase all loving energy that's in this whole entire album called Love Expanding Love.
I love the way that you that it was created. So what you're talking about is this foundation, your album's foundation of love.
Yes,
unconditional
absolutely.
Love. What does unconditional love mean to you?
Well, unconditional love to me means everything. It is the root of compassion, and I believe that compassion and gratitude are two of the most important elements to really being loving. And to basically, when you give love out, I know that love comes back to you expanded and in quantum amounts. And I didn't really know this at one point in my life, and it kind of came online with me after my dad actually passed away. And everything changed and shifted after that. And I know unequivocally that when you give love, you get love. So that's really how I feel about, I think, all things to do with compassion and unconditional love.
Yeah, I want to talk about your beginnings. I want to talk about your beginnings, but let's just stay on this subject right now because it's really an important subject, this unconditional love. And one of the things that I had to learn in my journey is, I'm just being upfront and honest. I mean, the definition of love, I had it all mixed up, all backwards. Quite frankly, loving is loving without any strings attached, loving without any agenda, loving without wanting anything back or even expecting anything back. Loving means I love you whether you're in my life or whether you're out of my life. I love you because I want the best for you. Loving you has nothing to do with me.
Absolutely.
But it took me years to get that, Paul. It took me years to get that. I mean, I always loved with some kind of strings attached. I always loved with, you know, wanting something back, something. How did your journey evolve finding the real definition of unconditional love? How did that work for you? I mean, how did that happen for you?
Well, essentially what happened in my story, in my life journey, is that when my dad passed away, my dad actually took his life, his own life, and it was one of those moments where everything just crashed, and it happened in the blink of an eye, and I had no idea this was coming. It got hit. Our family basically got hit by a freight train, and me in particular. I have always been with spirituality of God-centric kind of love, if you will, but I had no idea how important I was to myself, most importantly. And it all started with, ironically, when Oprah's own network kind of came online. This was the same time when my dad passed away. And I started watching some shows on her masterclass, and every single thing within me changed. And it was all started around the idea and model of self-worth. And I don't think I realized how self-deprecating I was before that point in my life. And it wasn't that I was, you know, messed up or I didn't have, I mean, I had a great life up until that point. So nothing really to mention that I wasn't grateful for, but I had no idea how important it was for me to love myself. And music was always one of those things. I started to believe what people told me at a very young age, that the arts didn't pay. And you had to be a doctor, a lawyer. You know, you had to go with all of those things that are conventional ways to make money.
Yes.
And I believed it. And I realized when my dad died, I needed, in order to heal, I needed to do a life review on everything that I had had happened up until that point. And really, I realized how damaged I was with my belief of what other people told me I was.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I decided to make a conscious decision to change the whole model of my programming. And I started reading some spiritual books. I started praying and meditating pretty much every day, very strictly in the morning and in the evening. And everything started to change and shift as I started to just basically deal with the worth within myself. And I realized music was the healing that I had been waiting for. And that's really where everything kind of came back online for me. And what's happening is incredible, because I know that my work is getting acknowledged now around the world. I've had tons of media. I've had press stories of positive love and kindness, and it is growing in quantum proportions. And I have a following with beautiful, beautiful people, and I honestly can't believe I get to live the life that I have. I had no idea this would be my life.
You know, your story is so, of course, it's unique to you. But I mean, this thread of self-worth, self-value. Are you kidding me? Yes, I mean, I totally relate to that, because that's where I began too. And listen, this is the whole thing. I couldn't feel worthy. I couldn't feel valued because my parents had no idea. They didn't feel it. They didn't know. The cycle just keeps continuing to happen. But they did the best they could. They didn't feel any self-worth or self-value. I mean, this looking on the outside, and I talk about it in my book, looking on the outside, yeah, I had a great life, had a lot of things, been a lot of places, you know, married a wonderful guy. But that wasn't really what was painting me. This self-worth, this self-value is so important that you talk about it, because it's a common thread throughout the world, I believe. And you can tell. You can feel it. But I always like to say is we're as different as our fingerprints, but in reality, we're really the same, looking for this feeling of okay, of acceptance. And you know, I say self-love, but I love the word acceptance. That means I accept myself, that person in the mirror, regardless of what's happening, regardless of what's not happening, regardless of anything. That self-acceptance and self-love is so important. And I love that you shared that with the audience. I really love that you shared it. What you're saying is you started to heal yourself with other, in other words, you could feel that there was something that you needed to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happened for me, what just came to me to share, and I kind of listened to my inner voice now, and I know that my heart is completely the center of my being. So that, the thing that just came to me inside of myself, because I believe everything comes from within us.
Yes.
The morning that my dad passed away, I've never felt this way in my life, and it was a calm. I was home actually visiting my family from Bermuda when this happened, and I was in Canada at our family home, and I was here with my mom that morning, and I will never forget looking in the mirror that entire day when this happened, and I don't know how to explain it other than there was definitely an alchemical kind of feeling. And it was where I, for the first time, looked into my eyes and saw my inside. And I can't explain that. I don't understand all of those things, you know, in words. But I can tell you from that moment, I saw the inside of my soul for the first time completely whole. And from that point forward, I realized that I had a lot to learn. And I read, ironically, you know, everything starts kind of becoming synchronistic. And I started, you know, books would fall in my laps that I would need to read at bookstores. And I can't explain it, but it was like the universe finally was communicating with me. And, you know, to some people that may sound, you know, unbelievable, but quite frankly, unless, you know, unless you, you know what I'm talking about, you, you understand that the universe speaks to us. Sometimes we just aren't awake to listen. And when you wake up to it, it is like it's, for lack of a better term, it's like it's on crack. I mean, it's just so present and so obvious once you start to see the signs. And when it happens, I remember reading that you say thank you. And when you start to do that, it happens more. And it's very amazing to kind of have that innerness now that I never knew before to the extent that I know now. And that's really, that morning changed everything, because I know that if we want peace in our world, that has to come from within us first, because like anything we create, because we're all creators, basically in order to create peace, you have to have that inside yourself first. To create love externally in your life, you have to have that inside of yourself first. So it's the root of all things from within, as your book clearly expresses.
I got so many chills just listening to you, and because, okay, just you said a couple of things, and if my memory helps serves me, you said you said that day, you know, you started to feel, you started to listen, or the universe was speaking to you, and I say the universe is. Has always been speaking to us, always. It's just now we have our list, as Judge G would say, we have our listening ears on. And it's always speaking. It's always been speaking. And this is going to be a really crazy question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because it's really important. And I know you're going to ride this with me.
Okay.
What, I mean, other than your discovery, you said it all happened on that day that your father died. Look at all the good that came out of him committing suicide. I mean, am I right?
Well, absolutely. And I mean, I remember making a conscious decision that day that I remember saying to myself internally that there has to be blessings that come from this. There has to be, because it is a place of complete loss. And they say that, you know, when you read anything about suicide, it's often there's really, they refer the closest thing to it as basically dealing with a murder, and it's someone murdering themselves. So that is the most, I mean, I have to tell you, it's the most intense thing I've certainly ever gone through, and it took a very long time to be okay with being me in this situation. It is very scary to kind of be in that road or on that journey of just being lost in this hurricane, and it's in the center of this crazy storm that just doesn't end, actually, and it's like a loop that goes round and round and round, and the thing that starts to happen when you're in a, you know, a crisis, I had never known a crisis like this, is you start to begin to understand your strength. And I realized that in my loss with my dad, with suicide, that what started to happen is that I realized that I had faced my biggest fear, which was always losing my parents. One of them had passed. And I used to be someone that I didn't realize this, you know, in my life before my dad died, but I didn't realize that I was living in fear big time, like crazy amounts of fear, worrying about how much money I had, worrying about everything you can think of and then some. And then what happened after that space is I realized that there's nothing more to fear, because I've faced the biggest fear of my life, and everything turned into love. And it happened in the blink of an eye. And the more I kind of expanded on that, I healed and healed more and more and more. And I'm still healing. I mean, I think we all are healing from something. And that suicide kind of energy, what happened with me is I started to understand my dad more. I understood his life. I understood the relationship that we had had, which was fantastic. But there were some challenges, like any relationship. And I realized the thing that's cool about death that I didn't know before was that what happens so miraculously, and it is a miracle, is you forget all the bad stuff, all the hard stuff, and you start to cherish and honor the life that that beautiful person lived. And my dad's with me, I know that unequivocally. And I know that he's just with me in a different, not a physical form, but a spiritual form now, and he's at his highest self. And I feel it every day of my life. And I felt it ever since he died, because that energy left him, all of his challenges, our challenges, the world's challenges left, and now I can celebrate his life that he succeeded at living the life that he lived. And I think often we forget to celebrate the life when someone dies. And I know in suicide, it's so common to see where people, they're in such pain and mourning forever, because you have to make a conscious decision. And I mean, with all due respect to, you know, anyone that's going through challenges and the loss of a loved one, it's very challenging. But the thing that I realized for myself, and I can only speak from my experience,
yes,
is that I really try to honor the life and celebrate the life and talk about the life that my dad had and lived and loved and created. And that's how I honor his love today, by doing that in my work and in my personal life as well.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I'm my mouth is here hanging open, because this is something that I talk about not only on this show but in the book. I mean, I even have a chapter in my book about death and happiness. And just sharing that the day that I buried my father was one of the happiest days of my life. But you, and again, same thing. I can only speak for myself, but I can share that it's all about perception and how you're choosing, how you're making a conscious choice to perceive or to choose how you want to look at your dad's suicide is so beautiful. And that is a lesson right there. You said something also about having fear your parents are gonna die. Are you kidding me? When I was in my 20s and 30s, I mean, if my mother and father died, how could I go on? How would I ever live? And I have to say that, I hope my son's not listening, he's got a little bit of that too, but, you know, they're still young. He's still young. And but with how I'm just speaking for myself on that day, because he was there with me. I only have one son, and how I chose to feel on that day, how I chose to be the example of someone that, you're right, Paul, my father isn't gone. I could feel his energy. I can feel all of it, and it is, everything is so perfectly in order. Everything is, this world, there's no mistakes about what's happening, and it's all about just accepting without resisting, relaxing, surrendering, and trusting that everything is here for us to support us. I love that you're sharing your intimate experiences with my audience. Thank you for that.
My pleasure, my honor.
Yeah, I was just like just feeling it. Well, you know what? I would like to play another song, only because I'm feeling it right now. Let's see. You sent some really cool songs, and we're going to play right now. It's called This Time. Here we go, audience. You're going to love it.
Oh, my fears.
like that one, Paul. I like that one.
That's great. I'm glad. Thank you so much.
I was kind of bopping around to it. Beep, 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 beep. Na, na, da, 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 da. Yeah?
That's great. I'm glad you love it.
Yeah, I do. I do. Okay, so let's get real. What are your challenges? What are your challenges now in your day-to-day life?
Sure. Well, right now, we're actually moving to the UK in a matter of pretty much just a little over a week. So that's a big change. So it's the first time that I've actually left, and not the first time I've traveled, but the first time that I've actually left my home country again after my dad passed away for good, kind of surrendering. I've created, a lot of stuff in the last 3 years, and I've had the chance to really make a lot of love waves, if you will, to the world. So I'm at the point as an artist where I'm kind of moving on out of the space of my cocoon when I started. And, starting something, getting the momentum when you start is really probably the biggest challenge. And the challenge that I have now is really making sure that I communicate what I do to the world. And that's really that's a challenge as an artist today. There's so many problems with music today, and I don't like to talk about problems, but people need to realize that art needs to be supported. And it's one of my models that I talk about. People need to understand that the music industry has changed immensely, and for artists to thrive and be able to create waves of more love, I believe that it needs to be supported and nurtured more. And I kind of feel like art is having a revolution again. But the important thing to remember in that revolution is that we need to remember to support artists so that art kind of has a chance to thrive and grow and expand as it needs to. And that's one of my callings and it's not just about me, it's about every artist. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't purchase music these days. And in order for an artist to have a home, a house, a life, children, food, those sorts of things that are necessities, we have to support the artist. And I'm just here to remind people to remember that when they listen to art or watch art or see art, that it needs to be nurtured and supported. So that's a challenge that I have, one of my my callings to share.
Yeah, one of your mission statements.
Yes. Perfect.
That's really interesting. Because you mentioned earlier that you learned or heard that artists isn't going to make any money. And this whole thing about what I learned, and I love that you say you can only speak for yourself, because I only can speak for myself too. I love that. One of the things that I had to learn is I had to relearn everything that I learned. And is it really true? Is it really true, these thoughts that I had? I wasn't born 1 year old, 2 years old, having these judgments and expectations and having these thoughts and having these limitations and or fears. And all of it was something that I've learned. And it's just, I can feel the differences. It's something that, I always say man-made versus universally made. And I can tell, I can feel the difference between both of those. So you're saying that one of your challenges is, and I like that you're just kind of stepping out and doing something and just moving to another country. How did that come about? I mean, that had to be a journey. Why are you moving?
Sure. Well, the big thing, I've been living in Canada with my mom since this happened. My sister actually lives in Australia. So I really wanted to stick around for my mom. We needed each other. I think there was that cocoon needed to kind of be together in order to help each other. And I really wanted to be here for my mom. And at the same time, I think I also needed her. So we've kind of had that 3.5 years pretty much since my dad passed away. And I feel, in that time I had the opportunity to do music, which I've done. And this next step for me, I'm married to someone actually from Bermuda, and Bermuda is one of the British overseas territories. We're going to move to the UK and just see what happens for the first couple of months and just feel what kind of is coming from that innerness being there. We have a few business opportunities there, and I'm just going to continue pursuing, you know, my expansion of my music, and my other half is going to work on some other business ideas that we have, and it's really just kind of surrendering. It's just the call within us to go, so that's why we're going.
I love it. I love it. What makes you laugh? What makes you smile? What makes you laugh?
I would say that my other half, my husband, is the love of my life, and I would say the most laugh internally comes from just sharing time with him, and I'm very thankful for that, the happiness that we have. We've been together for 11 years, and I know the best is yet to come, and we laugh a lot together. I would say that that's probably the most, just the largest source of laughter in my life right now. And I love a good joke. I have he has a great sense of humor, and I thank God for laughing. They say that laughter is the lubricant of love, and I firmly believe that.
Yeah, oh, I like it, lubricant of love. Oh, I love that. Yeah, because I was feeling your energy, and I was like, okay, what makes this dude laugh?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah,
it's so serious,
come
right?
On. Yeah, it's like,
I can laugh, trust me.
Yeah, okay, I get it. I love, you know, laughing, and one of my favorite quotes from Abraham is, and you know Abraham Alvester Hicks?
Yes. Yeah, she's actually written me. Yep. She's thanked me for my music, so I love her work with Abram.
Yes. Well, my favorite quote from Abraham is, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. And it's so true. So this journey, this is my belief that why I'm here is to grow, evolve, and have some frickin' fun and laugh about it and lighten up. And yeah, I was disinherited. Woohoo! So yeah, my father committed suicide. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely. Just and really just to shake off things and not take things so seriously and enjoy the journey. It's a journey at the end of the day, right?
Yes. And thank you for writing with me on that one, because I was debating whether I should say that. But anyway, I did it, and that's that. What I really want to ask you is, and this is a really interesting question, because I've had this struggle myself, so I want to ask you this question. If no one heard your music, if no one, this is just hypothetical, if no one heard your music, how would you feel, and could you still be happy?
Well, that's a really good question. I have to tell you, when I began this, it was kind of like that. So I've actually been in that space. And I have to tell you, it's where your ego kind of gets a little exercise. And I have to tell you, when I wrote my first collection of work, which was, I call them kind of vignettes or short songs.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do them in the structure that is typical of songwriting, where there was, you know, a verse, a verse, a bridge, and then a chorus usually ends. I didn't do it like that. I did very small vignettes that were just over a minute, little snaps of songs. And I have to tell you, I kind of expected, someone's going to find it, and, you know, it's going to be great, and so many people are going to join the bandwagon, and I'm going to, you know, things are going to go from here to here so quickly. And it wasn't like that. And I remember actually putting it out, and I kind of had never really thought about what would happen or the process. And I remember nobody really noticed. And I have to tell you, it was kind of like, okay, well, geez, wow, was I ever kind of incorrect or off, you know, offline on what I thought would happen? And it was a little bit of an exercise that I had to go through, I think, as an artist. And it was like, you know, if, you know, the metaphorical tree, you know, if it falls in the forest, does anyone hear it? And I have to tell you, it was really, you know, it was really challenging and really hard to have that happen. But what happened is one person noticed. And I remember thinking to myself, you know what? One person is better than none. And then from one person, it went to two. And then from two, it went to four. And I remember thinking, well, God, this is so, like, I'm embarrassed. I felt embarrassed at first. And you know what? And then I thought, well, why be embarrassed? Like, that's four people that I've affected that are genuinely happy because of what I've done.
Mm.
So I just started kind of self-soothing and just believing in myself, that inner worth. I knew that I was meant to do this. I've always known this all my life. I just was scared. And what started to happen is the more I believed in myself, the more others believed in me. And what has happened now, I mean, I have to tell you, when I see the numbers of just people in a day, I just had a publication just printed with my one song, Universal Love, which is making a lot of noise out in the world right now. And I had, like, I saw in one day over 1,000 people listen to that one song. And I have to tell you, it's just, when you see that, it's incredible to think that, you know, had I stopped at that one, I wouldn't have had the 1,000. And I know the 1,000 will turn into 5,000 and 10,000. And I know that this is, and it's starting to snowball now. I can feel it inside of myself. And look at our show doing this today. And these sorts of things are starting to happen because when you give, you receive. And I'm of service to love. That's my fundamental core principle. And I know the two roots, there's fear and there's love. And for me, I choose love. I create love. I'm not perfect at it. I'm learning with it. But I know unequivocally that I've been in the space of where no one's heard my music and then did. And they only did because I believed in love. So that's my little answer.
I love that answer. I have a similar story that I want to share. This show has been on, in fact, in August it'll be 3 years, and
congratulations.
Jesus, I remember that when I first started, I couldn't put a sentence together, and in 5 minutes, oh my God, I was pulling my hair out. I can't talk for 5 minutes. 5 minutes, oh God, it's 4 minutes. I still have to stretch another minute. And, of course, nobody was listening. I mean, why? And the interesting thing was, you're absolutely right. You know, my ego, like I said, I know the difference between my man-made thoughts and my universal thoughts. And it was okay, because you can get the stats of, just like you said, of how many people are listening. And then there was zero, Paul, zero, zero, zero for months and months and months. And then, you know, one person, three people. And I have to say that the universe talked to me, because I said, no one's listening. I have a message and no one's listening. And the universe basically told me very loudly that we're listening, and that's all that matters. We're listening.
He's got a chill. He's got a chill from that.
Yeah, and so I've now, even now, book. Yeah, I want every. I wrote the book not for anyone else. I wrote the book because I was inspired to write it. I'm really letting go of all of this expectations, attachments to anyone. In fact, the universe even asked me this. They said, "Can you be happy just doing this online radio show and having one book and nobody can hear it or nobody listens? Are you still going to be happy?" And the answer is yes.
I feel exactly what you're saying. And yes. And saying yes to the things that come from within us with love is where the magic is. And it's through gratitude that we get there. And I know what you talk about is very personal too, because you care. And we have to care in order to get where we want to go. And I'm very thankful that you're doing what you do, because I know that it matters. It matters, and there's people that need to hear what you have to share. My dad could have benefited greatly from what you're sharing, from what you're doing. My dad could have benefited from what I'm doing. And these are the things that will change and shift our world. And I believe firmly in those things, and I thank you for doing what you do, Rebecca.
Well, now I'm getting chills. Listen, and like energy finds like energy. This is it's my destiny. It's my purpose. Whether I mean, I have people that call the radio show and people that ask me questions. And some, you know, listen, I'm going to be very honest. Some people really don't want to hear what I have to say because or for whatever reason. I don't even try to understand. But I've had a lot of people hanging up on me. Oh, you don't have the answer, do you? In other words, you don't know the answer. I'm like, well, I just told you the answer, but... And even that, you said it earlier, it's not personal, it's not serious, it's just part of this life. It's all a journey, and I'm enjoying all of it. Finally, yeah. After years and years and decades of just being miserable with this life, totally miserable, always angry, short-tempered, very moody, like to argue. I mean, that was me. My son, my number one son, I'm just going to share this really quick. He's if you can imagine being raised by a mother who is very, very opinionated and my way or the highway, and now he's really, you know, he's growing up and he says, Mom, I'm ready to box with you, you know, figuratively. Box with you, Mom. Come on, let's struggle, let's box, let's spar. And I said, Nathan, sorry, I've retired.
Seriously.
Yeah, and he's really, you know, he tries a little back and forth, and I said, sorry, you're right. Your opinion's my opinion. I've given up. Walk all over me. I don't care. I'm just this big ball of sweetness and fluff and love and yeah.
Definitely.
Kind of fun. Well, I'm going to play another song because we're getting to the end of the program.
Okay.
I just don't know which one. I love that other one. Which one do you want me to play? You want me to play Universal Love or You're a Star?
I think Universal Love is a great – well, and I think Universal Love is a really great song to end with. And it's one that is making some serious waves because I believe our world is shifting towards love.
Yes.
And it's a song about that. So I think that's a great one to actually share.
Here we go, Universal Love.
About to change. Oh, don't you worry, little.
I love your voice. Your voice is so soothing and so filled with love. It really is, Paul. It really
is.
Yeah, the way you sing it, you sing with so much love. That's the, and I was trying to figure out, okay, what is this voice? What, you know, I was feeling your voice, and that's what it is. It's a voice.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a few more minutes left. I would like you to share with my audience, your audience, where they can find you, and you know,
sure.
your contact information and all of that.
Sure. So because my name is Paul Leftenegger, it's kind of been one of those long journeys with a name that's very hard to spell and pronounce. A lot of people, it's like Schwarzenegger, but it's Leftenegger.
Yeah.
And because of that name, what I've done is I've put together a website, the whole idea behind it is pollinated kindness. So like a bumblebee or a honeybee, it's just beekindness.com. And if you go to that address, that actually goes to my website, which is also paulleftenegger.com. If you Google my name, you'll find there's only one of me in the world as far as I know. And if you Google my name, you'll find lots of press and media and moments creating kindness. So that's how you can find me. I've made all of my work available for free to listen to through my website. And I made a conscious decision to offer my music free to listen to so that money wasn't needing to be exchanged for my music unless people chose consciously to do so after having heard my songs and my music and my voice, my calling. So I've made all of my music available to listen to for free, which isn't very typical in the music industry these days. And you can listen to any of it as much as you like online on my website. You can share it through social media from my website, so you can share it with a friend. And I always ask people to share my music with someone through social media if possible. And, just keep the wave of love growing. And that's the best way for me that you can help me really share and expand love.
Ooh. Oh, how wonderful. All of your music is for free. Jeez Louise. Yeah, that is all universal. That is all universal. Well, I have really enjoyed having you on the show, my first international artist, and I love your music. I love your energy. I love your spirit. I love your honesty. I love that you're sharing your story. Because in reality, you know, we're different. We're on different journeys, but we all have this internal. We're all the same. We're all part of this. We are all the universe. I like to say we're physical forms of the universe. And what a wonderful show today. Okay, I have a really quick question before I get off the air. Did you hear that my song, my theme song?
I did, absolutely.
That's my son.
That's great. I know, it was fun. It was very light, and I was thinking, it's the first time that I heard it from start to finish before the show, and it was really fun to be a part of that.
Yeah. He, that's of course, my show was going live, I said, 3 years ago, and because he's an artist also. He's in New York, and he's an artist, so I said, can you put a theme song together for me? And, you know, a day before the show is going to go live, there's my song. But, anyway, thank you so much, Paul, for being on the show on Reality Spirituality. And, of course, this is not the end. This is just the beginning of a long, long connection and friendship. I really appreciate you being here with me. Thank you so much, Paul. Everyone else, I love that you have been a part of the show today. Again, you can go to find Paul Leftenegger at, I'm going to spell it for you, paulleftenegger.com or bekindness.com. And again, Reality Spirituality is heard every Saturday and Sunday. Go to my Facebook page, Reality Spirituality, and like Reality Spirituality. You can follow me on Twitter at R.L. Norrington. That's R.L. Norrington. And remember, I want you all to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always changing. You're always growing. love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending, an unhappy journey. We'll connect again next week. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality.
Yeah. Always time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Time to get some answers, baby.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.